Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
All right, I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Isaiah. We're going to read just one verse of scripture here. I'll probably read a few others. I may have you look at one other place. But Isaiah chapter 9, okay? And we're going to look at verse 6. Jesus, the purpose of Christmas. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, some just got married, some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. We have been looking at the characters of Christmas. We've talked about the shepherds. They show us the wonder of it all. We have looked at Joseph, who showed us the strength of Christmas and his obedience in a difficult circumstance. We've looked at Mary, who showed us a surrendered heart. And today we're looking at the Lord Jesus, who is the purpose of Christmas. I don't know what you're going to get for Christmas or what you're giving for Christmas. I hope that we don't miss the real purpose of Christmas, but I hope that maybe you will get some things that you need and that will be a blessing to you. I heard about the pastor who came to the church the day after Christmas. And they had a manger scene, and he noticed that the baby Jesus was gone. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a little boy riding or pulling a little red wagon. And he looked in there, and it looked like that baby Jesus from that church's nativity was in that red wagon. So he ran up to the little boy. He said, "What do you have there, young man?" He said, "I have baby Jesus in my wagon." He said, "Where did you get him?" He said, "I got him right there out of the manger scene at the church." He said, "Why did you take baby Jesus?" He said, "Well, I told Jesus last week that if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I'd take him for the first ride around the block." I don't know what you're going to get for Christmas, but I pray that we don't miss the real purpose of Christmas. Look at our verse of scripture. This is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the scripture says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, this was a prophecy that Isaiah recorded. There are over 20 prophecies in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a great book about prophecy. And as you know, the story of Christmas is really not just a New Testament story, although we read the details of the actual story in the New Testament. It is really an Old Testament and an Old Testament story that was predicted in prophecy. In 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah wrote about a coming Messiah. Now, as we know from Scripture, the whole history of the Old Testament is that God's people Israel would go and go their own way, not the way the Lord wanted them to go, and God would continue to send prophets. He was always after the people. And in this particular case, Ahaz was the king of Judah. And Ahaz, instead of relying on the Lord, Ahaz was wanting to make unholy alliances. He wanted to make an unholy alliance with Syria, with Assyria. And it turns out that Syria and the northern kingdom was coming against Judah. And so he panicked, and rather than calling upon the Lord, he made an alliance with Assyria. It turned out to be a bad deal because Assyria ended up, and that's the way it always is, when we go outside of the Lord and we don't rely on him, it always turns out to be a bad deal. Amen? It does. And so what happened was, sure enough, Assyria began to put pressure and eventually defeated God's people and brought destruction and pressure and heartache. And yet the Lord was saying to Ahaz, I want to take care of you. And he was using the prophet Isaiah to say it. He even said to him, would you like a sign? And Ahaz said, no, I don't want a sign. Well, he would have not wanted a sign because he knew he had already made an unholy alliance with Assyria. And so the Lord said, I'm going to give the lineage of David a sign. I want you to look back one page in your Bible to this is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. After Ahaz said, I don't want a sign, he said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now we know from the book of Matthew, the word Emmanuel means what? Say it with me. God with us. And so he is giving a sign. So when you think about the purpose of Christmas, here's the first thing I want you to write down. Number one, Christmas shows God's sign. Jesus provides for rebellious man. Christmas shows God's sign. Jesus provides for rebellious man. And that has been his pattern. God always has taken the initiative. The scripture says, for unto us a child is born. The word child there emphasizes his humanity. God was the initiator in sending Jesus. The purpose of Christmas is that Jesus came so that he could save his people from their sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice the first two words of that most familiar verse of Scripture, for God. God is the one who takes the initiative in our relationship with him. The book of Romans says it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth, and that's a word that means proved, that for God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here is the pattern all throughout the Old Testament to the Jewish people, and then all throughout the New Testament that we read in the epistles, and then even in us, for us today in the church age, and that is this: God has always taken the initiative in loving us. He's always taking the initiative in providing. Christmas is a humongous exclamation point that the God of this universe loves you, and he loves me, and he has provided a way for us to come to know him. And so God's sign is seen in Christmas. It's when you think about the purpose of Christmas, Christmas shows God's sign. Jesus provides for rebellious man. Now, God's pattern was always to initiate. In the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God, he initiated forgiveness to Adam and Eve when they sinned. He told Noah to build the ark when the people were in rebellion. He initiated a covenant to Abraham in the Old Testament. What did he do? He sent prophets to the Old Testament people to get their attention. Folks, I don't know if you get the message or not, but the message is that God is always sending overtures of love, overtures of correction, overtures of blessing to mankind. He is after you. God is after you. He is wanting to have a relationship with you. And so he's initiating his love to you, even in a crisis, even as you have difficulty in your life. And sometimes at Christmas time, these are not easy days. They're not easy days for some, because problems are magnified sometimes at Christmas. But I just want to say to you that we've got to recognize that the coming of Jesus was God's way of taking the initiative. Number one, Christmas shows God's sign. Here's number two. Christmas shows God's sacrifice. Christmas shows God's sacrifice. Jesus died. He was the infinite God-man, and Jesus died for mankind. Jesus left heaven's glory to die for us. The Bible in Isaiah says, "For unto us a child," emphasizing his humanity, "is born. Unto us a son is given." That word emphasizes his deity. He is the Son of God. And so God himself became a man. Unto us a son is given. We saw the prophecy back in chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:23, the scripture interprets that word, and we just said that. It means God with us. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, this prophecy is fulfilled. Let me just read that. Matthew 1:16, it says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And so we see that fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus was the sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2 is a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture that talks about what Jesus did when he came. And it says it this way. It says, "Let this mind be in you." It's a challenge to us that the same sacrificial love that Jesus wanted to show mankind, that agape love is the kind of love we ought to have one for another. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." He was born a man in that manger. He was born a baby in that manger and became a man. And in verse 8 it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it describes the sacrifice and what Jesus did for us when it says this in verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So at Christmas, we think about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the baby Jesus being born, but let's not forget the purpose. Jesus had a purpose. His purpose was to die on that cross, to pay for our sins, to purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. Let's don't forget the cross. Church family, if we are going to be a gospel church, and we've committed to do that, amen? We are going to be a gospel church, amen? Good, I thought I'd get an amen there. I'm praying I get an amen. Then we cannot do anything but preach the cross. The cross is what delivers the message of salvation to those that need God's love. I'll never forget hearing about Dr. Graham, Billy Graham, the great preacher and evangelist. When he was preaching, there was a time of a real dryness in his message, and someone said to him, "Dr. Graham, you're not preaching about the cross," and he committed he would never preach again unless he emphasized the cross of Christ, because Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus came and was born, but he died on that cross, and praise God that he did. It's what allowed my sin to be forgiven, and now I can know Christ in a special and a wonderful way. The scripture says it like this. Imagine if my hand represented my life. Well, the thing that's stopping me from knowing God is sin. So if you imagine that this booklet had sin, all the sins I'd ever committed, well, here's my sin separating me from God. And yet, the Bible says Jesus came out of heaven. This hand represents the life of Christ. And notice, there's no sin on Jesus. There's no sin on him. The sin is on me. He lived a perfect life. But the Bible says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now look at my life. Now I have the opportunity to know Jesus because Jesus Christ has taken my sin on himself. And so what we find is that Jesus is our sacrifice. And in our rebellion against the Lord, we find that he is the one that has taken on our sins, and we have the ability to know him because of that sacrifice. So as we think about Jesus telling us and showing us the purpose of Christmas, number one, Christmas shows us God's sign. Number two, Christmas shows us God's sacrifice. Here's the last thing. Christmas shows us God's salvation. Jesus brings that reconciliation. Our greatest needs are met in Jesus. Now, you may get a lot of gifts. You may get some duplicate gifts. I don't know. And a lot of times you buy a gift. They say, would you like a gift receipt so that you can offer that gift receipt so somebody could take it back? You may get some duplicate gifts, and that gift receipt could be handy. You may have gifts that are given to you that don't fit, okay? You may have gifts that you're not as crazy about. As my kids have gotten older and they started having kids, I start thinking of gifts that I could give my grandkids that would be really special for my kids. You know, like drum sets. You know, like loud things. You know, things like that. You may have gifts that are like that. You may have gifts that maybe you get started with it and all of a sudden something happens to it. It breaks. I don't know. But can I tell you this? This gift that Jesus is giving us is exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. You know what we need? We need reconciliation. Look at that verse in Isaiah. The verse in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, talking about even a future kingdom that will come in the future. And then it says, his name will be called Wonderful. That's another word for deity. God came in that manger. Now, folks, we can't wrap our minds around that, but we know from God's word, we believe in the truth of God's word, the infallibility of God's word. Well, it says that baby in the manger was God. Jesus was God. And so it says his name will be called Wonderful, a word for deity. And then it says his name will be called Counselor. That's an interesting word. It means to resolve. You know, Michael, we're talking about music, you know, and Robert and all our musicians. You know, you have music and it goes up to a point, and it's like a dissonant sound. You know that there's another note coming. What do? You get that note to the top part, and all of a sudden it resolves. And you're so glad that it does. You're so glad that it resolves. The word counselor means to resolve, all right? So he solves the dissonance in our life. He solves the problems in our life. You think about choices that you have to make. You think about decisions that you have to make. All of these things are helped, and the blessing of knowing Jesus is that he becomes your counselor. He becomes the one who helps resolve the difficult questions. One of the things I say at the beginning of every sermon is one of the things that we're here for is that we all need the gospel, because the gospel helps us to understand the things in life that we don't understand. It helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. And the truth of the matter is only God can be that counselor that can resolve those difficult issues. And so that's what we have when we have reconciliation with the Lord. You think about all that. Because here's the other thing it says. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Then it says he's the Mighty God. This phrase means God is a warrior. God is a warrior. In other words, when Satan raises his ugly head about you and he says, oh, what about that one over there? The Lord has a way of being a warrior and bringing protection. Satan would love to take every one of us down into the pits of hell, and yet God, not only is he a wonderful counselor, but he is the mighty God. And as Satan spins his spider web of sin, and we need to, even as believers, we need to make sure and be careful and stay out of that spider web of sin. You know, a fly comes along in that spider web, and the more he hits it, it's sticky. And the more he tries to get out, he gets more stuck. That's what happens to sin. Sin is a phony job. In other words, sin gives you the impression, hey, come this way. But the truth is, it is a trap. But God is a warrior. God is the mighty God who can deliver that, who can deliver you from that. And then it says, he's the everlasting Father. That means he is an eternal protector. God is an eternal protector. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, the scripture says this, and I give them eternal life. Now listen to this. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then it says this, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, he says that I give them eternal life, and he says, you will never perish. He makes that promise. You will never perish. And he says, furthermore, no one, he's the eternal protector, no one can take them out of my hand. What a great promise. And then it says, lastly, he is the Prince of Peace. And that is the idea of being in safety. It really is the word peace. Every time I say the word peace, I always say this to y'all, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but I can't help it. The word peace is such a loaded word in the Bible. It means to be made whole. There's nothing like peace. You lay your head on the pillow at night. If you're at peace with God, there's no greater sense in the whole world. It's wonderful to be at peace with your spouse. It's wonderful to be at peace with others. But I tell you, to be at peace with God is wonderful. And when you're at peace with God, you're normally at peace with others. You see? And so he says he is the Prince of Peace. It means to be in safety. Your estate is whole. God is what you're looking for, ladies and gentlemen. God is what you are needing in your life. And so we find the purpose of Christmas. Christmas is showing us God's sign, God's sacrifice, and God's salvation. Christina Max Lucado says in his book, No Wonder They Call Him the Savior, was a young Brazilian woman. She lived in a Brazilian village with her mother Maria. They were very poor, and all she had was a pallet to sleep on the floor. She had a little tub to take a little hand bath in, and they had a little stove in their one room place to live. Well, Christina dreamed of living in the big city. She wanted a better life, and her mother, Maria, kept saying, no, there's danger out there in that big city. And yet, one day, Christina decided, I'm going to leave, and she left, and it broke her mother's heart. Her mother knew that there was nothing good in the city. She had no way to earn a living, and she was going to end up on the streets. She was going to end up in a disastrous situation, and so her mother was heartbroken, and so she decided, I'm going to go look for her. And so she went. She was going to the big city in Brazil, and before she left on the bus, she made one last stop, and she went into a drugstore, and she spent all of her money, almost all of her money, and she just got in the little picture booth and just made multiple pictures of herself. Multiple pictures of herself. And on the bus ride, she wrote little notes on the back of all those pictures of herself. She went to the big city, She was looking for Christina, her daughter, but she knew there was no way Christina was going to come home because she was very prideful, and she knew that she was going to dig in and she would find a way. And when pride and the need and hunger come into play at the same time, then you tend to do things that you wish you'd never done, and that's what happened to her. She became a woman on the streets, earning a living in a sordid way. And the mother was there trying to find her, and she never would find her. But what she would do is the mother would go to all the places that she thought maybe she would find her daughter. And everywhere she went, maybe it was a little phone booth, she would put a picture. She'd put one of those pictures there. She'd go to a hotel. She'd put it on the mirror in the lobby of a hotel. She'd go to a bar, and she'd put a picture of herself there. Well, eventually she ran out of money and the ability to stay there in that city to look for her daughter, and so she left. Well, the daughter ended up in this terrible life, and she wanted to go home, but it seemed so far away. The little village for Christina was so far away. 1,000 times Christina wanted to go home, but she just couldn't get there. She came down the stairs one morning in a hotel where she had been the night. And she looked on the wall and she saw a familiar face. And she grabbed that picture, and it was her mother. A picture that her mother had left in that hotel. And she grabbed that picture. She turned it over, and this is what her mother had written. No matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he's basically initiating such love to us. He's saying, no matter what you've done, I can take care of it. Come home. Things get real intense this last week headed towards Christmas. It's one reason I love the Christmas Eve service. It just kind of puts Jesus right there at the center on Christmas Eve, and hopefully we're all trying to do that every day this week. But I know things get intense and things get busy. But in all the busyness of it, let's don't forget that God came from heaven. He became a man. He came into our world to say to us, no matter what you've done, I can take care of it. Come home. I am so grateful that as a teenage boy, all mixed up, wondering what life was all about, my father had just died of cancer. I had some buddies and some family that invited me to go to a youth camp, and I heard about Jesus. I am so thankful that at that youth camp, it all of a sudden became real clear to me that Jesus had initiated that love to me, and he wanted to change my life. He sent me a message, and he's sending you a message today. No matter what you've done, I can take care of it. Come home. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.